It is good once again to have Todd Furman on, senior race and sports analyst for Caesars Entertainment. Todd, it's crazy. We're not talking players here, and the players play the game. But will the Saints' odds of winning the Super Bowl drop because they've just lost their head coach?
We've actually been moving the Saints up ever since this story broke. It's become increasingly difficult to try and get bets from the general public, and I imagine this news today will only make it that much more difficult. So we've had the Saints at 15-1. I expect to probably move them as high as 18-1 with this news.
Wow, and that, because without all of this, and with just if without any this not going on, what were they at originally? When last season ended, what were the Saints to win the Super Bowl this year?
We opened the Saints at 9-1. Now, when we talk about NFL futures, it's important to keep in mind that the true price doesn't always reflect what the public wants to do with a team. So if we can't actually get a bet on a certain team, the Saints being a prime example right now, despite having that talent core all coming back, we need to continue to raise the price. And as we brought down teams like the Redskins, the Broncos, the Titans up until Peyton Manning made his final decision, there were certain teams that we just needed to attract action on. The Saints were indeed one of them.
And with while we're talking about this, with the Broncos, what were they pre-Manning and what did you move them to with the Manning decision?
We opened the Denver Broncos at 60-1 during our offseason. We now have them listed at 10-1. I don't anticipate we'll keep them at 10-1 for much more than a month, but that's all going to depend on how the public decides they want to come in and bet the Broncos at this point. Normally, we'll drop teams real fast after big news because the initial swell makes the most sense. The Detroit Tigers, another great example. When they acquired Prince Fielder, we took them from 10 to 5 right away and have gradually inched them back up as some of that buzz has worn off.
All right, Todd, so 60-10, and Denver may move back up, but 60-10 with Peyton Manning. What was it when LeBron James decided on Miami? What was Miami, and then when they got LeBron James, was that a huge drop as well? And then what did Cleveland go up to? Do you remember?
The NBA odds won't move nearly as much because when you look at each season, especially after Chris Bosh had already signed there, we had a feeling that the Heat were going to be amongst the elite in the Eastern Conference. So the highest we had them at any point amid all the LeBron James rumors swirling was about 4-1. Once he signed, they came down to a little more than 3-2. Cleveland, a much different story since we kept them right around 20-25-1. They almost doubled up to 50-1 once LeBron had decided to take his talents to South Beach.
So, Todd, is this the biggest drop for a one-player move in history? This Peyton Manning move?
Right up there at this point, considering how big a long shot the Broncos were, we didn't really think that Tim Tebow was the guy to take them to the promised land, despite, you know, pretty fervent public support throughout the end of last year. But a lot of it is being proactive in the futures market. So for us, we need to make sure we stay one step ahead of the general public. I know a lot was made about the Giants and the potential long shot tickets that were out there. But as long as we stay ahead of where that buzz comes from, then we're doing our jobs correctly.
With Tebow, as you mentioned, there's a lot of public support and people love the guy. He goes to New York. Will that have any effect on the Jets' odds?
It won't actually move the Jets' odds at all. If anything, you may want to look to drop them a little bit, assuming this will have a negative impact on Mark Sanchez's confidence. But I think the Jets will remain pretty consistent at 18-1.
Do you guys or did you guys post odds on where Manning would go and where Tebow would go?
Oh, we actually did not. I know there were some books around town. And the reality of it is that it's a bit of a gray area when you talk about gaming in terms of games of chance versus player decisions.
Mm-hmm.
They actually worded the prop as to where Peyton Manning would throw his next pass. We didn't elect to actually book that because we felt somewhere, whether it was Rob Lowe or Peyton Manning, there was going to be someone out there who knew where he would actually take his next pass.
When Rob Lowe comes in and places a huge bet on the Broncos, everybody's knowing something's going on out there. Something's a little bit fishy going on with this. Todd Furman joining us from Caesars Entertainment in Las Vegas. Todd, moving on to the NCAA tournament. My understanding was last week with the first weekend, was it a very good weekend for Vegas as far as the NCAA tournament goes?
Thursday was not so good. It was arguably one of the worst days we'd had
because
in recent
memory. Favorites were great.
A lot of chalk.
Exactly. With all the favorites coming in, it's always tough. There's so much public money out there, and people always ask the question, well, if the public keeps betting a team at -6, why don't you just keep ticking the number up? Unfortunately, it's not that easy. We have to move in increments. And so even if the public is going to come in at, you know, a 3 or 4 to 1 clip like we saw on some of these games, we can't move too hard too fast. However, Friday actually worked out pretty well for us, especially with UNLV going down. A lot of local money out here had the Rebels tied into money line parlays and teasers, things of that sort. And then Sunday was absolutely tremendous for us. The biggest decision we had of the opening weekend was actually St. Louis covering the 7.5 against Michigan State.
Did you have any big big winners on either of the 15 seeds, especially on like a money line bet?
We actually didn't offer a money line on Norfolk State. We did have some money line action that came in on Lehigh from some pretty respected gamblers. The price got as high as 9-1 on the underdog in this spot. We ended up closing at 6-1. So there were folks who had some nice tickets there. The interesting part was throughout the weekend, we took a number of $10 and $15 bettors betting Norfolk State and Lehigh at prices like 3,500 to 1 to win the national championship. Obviously, tickets now that'll be better as souvenirs than they will be as actual investment.
So, Todd, now that we're down to the Sweet 16, I would imagine you readjust odds. And what can you tell us about that with some of the teams that have now entered into the Sweet 16 territory? What has it done for their odds?
A lot of question marks this year versus years past. North Carolina and Syracuse posing obvious challenges at this point. Kentucky remains a prohibitive favorite. They're listed at 8-5, so you're not going to see a huge return on investment for the Wildcats. North Carolina we've held pretty consistently with right around 5-1. I know the injury to Kendall Marshall definitely impacts their chances to advance past not only the round of 16, but any further. Syracuse we've taken from 15 down to 10-1. And then some of the longer shots, Ohio remains the biggest one on the board at 75-1. Kansas, along with some of the other top seeds, pretty consistent. Florida hovering right in the middle of the pack, along with Marquette in that 15-20 range.
What did the Marshall injury, how much of an effect did it have on the line in this game versus Ohio?
In all honesty, power rating-wise, I made North Carolina 11.5-point favorite with Marshall in the mix. The number right now is 10.5. I think the biggest impact you'll see is actually on the over-under. We opened the total at 143.5. I believe with Kendall Marshall in the mix, you're talking about a total at 147, 148, since he's really the catalyst that makes that team go. I'm just not sure Ohio can exploit some of the weaknesses that North Carolina will have in transition without their point guard.
Are you getting a lot? Do a lot of people maybe believing that that line's too big with him out and that it'll have a bigger impact? Are you getting quite a bit of action on Ohio?
In all honesty, it hasn't slowed down any of the betting coming in on the Tar Heels. I think people see the name on their jersey and realize that Cinderella's run may be over. I think if they were to get through Ohio and take on Kansas or even an NC State in the Elite Eight, that's where we'd see a lot more resistance because you really need the services of a guy who accounts for nearly 40% of your offense, at least in terms of touches and facilitating everything you do.
Todd, what last time you were on, we talked about how huge the four-day run was last Thursday through Sunday, and we talked about the comparisons to just the single Super Bowl Sunday and how much is bet out there. What was it like last weekend? Was it more than normal? Was it average? Was it below average?
We actually broke records for our overall handle on Friday. I think a lot of that was some of the bravado and chest pumping from the general public on Thursday. we saw that as a chance to reinvest company funds and kind of play with house money. But we were extremely thrilled with our network statewide for what we took in for handle. Definitely surpassed what we did for Super Bowl. And I think it's a sign how big this opening 4 days has really become in popularity and the boon it provides for not only Caesars Entertainment out here in Las Vegas, but for all the other casinos and sports books in the state.
Well, and I would imagine that this Sweet 16 sets up well for you because of the blue blood type teams that we're talking about in the Kentuckys and North Carolinas and Indianas and Syracuse and Kansas and, you know, Michigan State, Louisville. I mean, these are the big time programs with big fan bases. I would think this sets up pretty well for you guys.
It's definitely great for viewing, but just the sheer volume isn't anywhere close to what you'll see for the first couple of days. So we don't really anticipate a huge rush. I'm hoping the quality of basketball lives up to the expectations. And the unfortunate part is a lot of these fan bases, when you get down to the round of the Sweet 16, a lot of them will actually travel with the team. So especially when you talk about our proximity to Phoenix, which will play host to the Western Regional, we won't see a lot of that Michigan State, Louisville fan base coming to Las Vegas. They'll actually travel to support their team.
From what you've seen and analyzed, is this Kentucky's to lose?
I believe so. I haven't really seen any true kinks in their armor at this point. You know, I watched them against Vanderbilt in the SEC championship, but throughout that run, they really looked like they were disinterested and didn't care in terms of what they could do, knowing that once they put their foot to the gas, that they could accomplish big things. I really believe it's Kentucky's opportunity to cut down the nets. And if John Calipari wants to put the final stamp on what's been a great college coaching career, if he's going to explore NBA options, what better way to do it than with a team who really exemplifies team basketball?
Todd, moving on to the NBA, with the Grizzlies just getting Zach Randolph back, he's played three games. They've gone 1-2 in those games, got in the starting lineup last night at a loss to Sacramento. What are your current, your future odds as far as the Grizzlies in the Western Conference to win the West or to as far as an NBA championship goes?
We actually have the Grizzlies listed at 20-1 to win the Western Conference and as high as 40-1 to win the NBA championship. It's a team that I really think offers quite a bit of value, especially if Randolph gets back into the flow of things and really makes this team as formidable as they were last year just in that deep Western Conference playoff run. The one thing about the Grizzlies, we actually have to make them a little bit higher than probably true odds. It's important for us to attract attention on teams, notably not named the Oklahoma City Thunder, Chicago Bulls, and Miami Heat. So teams like the Sixers, the Grizzlies, and their respective conferences don't draw a lot of attention. So you'll see actually pretty healthy prices on both of them.
Anyway, I was going to add, Oklahoma City, I'm sure, has to be the overwhelming favorite in the West. What are they at?
Oklahoma City is listed at 7-2 right now. The Lakers' odds have moved down a little bit. We had them as high as 15-1. They're down to 9-1 right now.
And what are the Heat over in the East? Are the Heat the overall favorite?
Yeah, the Heat are the overall favorite. They're actually minus 120. Meaning you'd have to put up $1.20 to take back a dollar if you were going to bet them to win the NBA championship. In terms of their Eastern Conference odds, they nearly double, meaning you'd have to put up $2.50 to win back $1.
Wow. And what's Oklahoma City for the NBA championship compared to the Heat?
Oklahoma City is 7-2, and they are the favorites in the Western Conference, right around 3-2. I think with the addition of Derek Fisher, assuming that deal goes through today, it only gives them another veteran influence and makes this team that much more formidable.
Go ahead.
So the Heat are just an overwhelming favorite at this point to win it all.
They definitely are. We took Heat money early in the year, and with prices that high, it basically says there's no reason for you to come in and bet the Heat. We're trying to steer action almost any other team on the NBA betting board.
It's amazing that they're overwhelming favorite when you look at Chicago, who has an unbelievable record when Derrick Rose isn't playing. There's something like... Is it 10-2?
10-4.
10-4 without Derrick Rose. You mentioned the Lakers dropping from 15-9. That's a pretty significant drop. Was it because of the moves they just recently made? Bringing in Sessions?
It's that in conjunction with the fact that people see the Lakers at 15-1. They automatically assume there's perceived value. I think there's some skepticism by a lot of the general public in terms of who really is the clear-cut favorite in the Western Conference. We've seen Oklahoma City struggle for stretches. But I really believe now, until the end of the regular season, you're going to see teams look to rest their players instead of really focusing on seeding. I think the goal for most of these teams is just to get into the postseason, and then anything can happen.
Do you guys do NBA division odds?
We actually do not book NBA division odds. We've tried them in the past, just didn't generate the same betting interest that we anticipated.
Most people don't know what divisions teams are in, so they wouldn't even
know. Exactly.
I'm betting on this team, but who are they actually playing against within their division? I don't know who that is.
All right, Todd, one final thing before we let you go, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you an awful lot during the baseball season, and I hope it doesn't get you off guard here, top five odds to win the Major League Baseball World Series title as we're only 2 weeks away from opening day.
Top five odds you're looking at in no particular order. You have the Philadelphia Phillies, the prohibitive favorite. They check in at 5-1. Right behind them are the Yankees and Tigers, listed at 6-1. Behind them would be the Detroit Tigers. They come in at 7-1. And then in that group at 10-1, you'll have the Texas Rangers along with the Boston Red Sox.
Where do the Cardinals fall?
The St. Louis Cardinals fall at 15-1, and the San Francisco Giants right in that same group at 12-1, along with the Cincinnati Reds.
And now, I'm not sure where it was, but I know that the Cubs, in one thing that I saw, were one of the higher best odds, kind of like 7th or 8th in odds, because I guess, but they're going to be terrible, but I guess because they're the Cubs, a lot of people bet them, so you got to keep them low?
We opened the Cubs up at 30-1. Immediately, we took them down to single digits. We've tended to fluctuate right now between 15 and 18, But to put in perspective, of all the bets we've taken in our Major League Baseball futures market, the Cubs are double that of any other team.
Oh,
so it's one of those things, as a bookmaker, you hate to hang a number that looks short. At the same time, you don't need to sell a commodity at 50-1 that people will gladly buy at 9-1.
Is that, does that happen every year with them? Is that a normal thing for them?
It's pretty consistent. There are a handful of teams that we see bias in the market. The Cubs, the overwhelming team, but it's no different with Notre Dame football, Toronto Maple Leafs in our hockey markets, and the Dallas Cowboys in our NFL futures.
I know a lot of Cubs fans. Are they just dumb people? Is that what it is?
The only difference between those teams and the Cubs, those teams actually have won once in a while.
you're talking to someone who grew up in Chicago surrounded by Cub fans. I actually was a Yankee fan throughout, so I find some of the futility actually pretty funny that I can rag on my friends. At the same time, I think all these Cub fans don't want to be there the one year they actually do win it. They want to make sure they have that ticket in their hand.
You're right.
We look at it in Vegas as the one year the Cubs actually do win the Major League Baseball championship, that none of those tickets will get cashed. Everyone is going to want to pass those down as family heirlooms.
Well, I am a big Cubs fan, and I'm not even dumb enough. I mean, I just would be, I guess, yeah, maybe for the souvenir part of it, if it ever does happen. But,
I think we're beyond the doom factor.
Twice the amount of bets on the Cubs as you get on all the other teams. Boy, you have made a lot of money through the years on the Chicago Cubs, that's for sure.
It definitely doesn't hurt. The irony right now is that we're seeing a ton of money come in on the Cubs going over the 73 wins for their posted win total. And to put in perspective, we do offer National League Central division odds. The Cubs are listed as the second favorite because ton of money that we've seen behind only the Reds. So on the other side, it does offer value on teams like the Brewers and Cardinals, who people believe actually have a legitimate shot to win the division.
Great stuff, Todd. We really appreciate it. The senior race and sports analyst for Caesars Entertainment. We'll be talking to you during the baseball season. Thanks so much, Todd. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy the basketball the next couple weeks.
You as well.